Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Boone County National Bank. We know you're in a hurry. That's why we have 16 banks and 23 ATMs all over town. No matter where you are, you'll find a Boone County National Bank to serve all your financial needs. Plus, with online banking, you don't even have to leave home to manage your money. The most convenient bank in town and a friendly smile, too. That's Boone County National Bank. Member FDIC. Visit us in person or online at boonebank.com today.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Friends on Wednesday, November the 13th. We've got one guest today and he only has one name, kind of like Cher. Well, this is Pablo. Welcome to Radio Friends,
Thank you.
Pablo.
Thank you.
You were on here back in September. I think it was the first time you were on Radio Friends. And that was to talk about that special event in Mexico, Missouri. Walk back in time. Mm-hmm. When was that?
That was the last weekend in September. It's always the last full weekend in September.
Yeah. So how did Walk Back in Time go?
For the first time, this is our 12th year, we completely surrounded the mansion, the Graceland Mansion, with living history, portions of American history all the way around, starting with the Vikings 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. So you had, I know on that Saturday you had rain, but Sunday?
Right. My view is that will displace some of your attendance to the next day if your rain hits on Saturday and you got an open day and a nice day on Sunday, you'll have lots of folks. And that's exactly what we had.
So you had a nice, good crowd.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that worked out. But you're here today, and Pablo is a storyteller. Mm-hmm. You were here today to talk about something that happens next year.
Next year begins the 4 years of the centennial of World War I, which is, of course, was a very intense national experience. And it's sadly kind of fading into the past, into obscurity. And I hate to see that. And the number one commander was Black Jack Pershing. And he was from Missouri. And he was the highest ranking general in American military history.
During World War I.
World War I. He had 6 stars. That's a lot of stars. And he commanded the largest battle in the history, which is the Meuse-Argonne. And even that is fading into history.
And you're saying he was the highest ranking general in American history ever?
In American history ever.
So no one has come close to that rank since then.
Well, 5 stars gets pretty close. Eisenhower, for example, and the MacArthur.
But he was a six star.
He got a 6 star after World War I.
Okay. And Pablo is a storyteller. So today you have a story for us dealing about what?
The largest battle in American military history. And command, and I will always do it in first person. I have others in World War I as well. Not today, of course. And now next year I'll start doing that much more intensely with the centennial.
Okay. So you have a World War I story for us today.
Yes, I do.
Here is Pablo.
1914 to 1918. And it was a time in which the world had gone mad. And in 1917, I felt a finger tapping me on the shoulder. And it was the President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, who said, "General Pershing, take us to war." And we were so unprepared. Oh, were we unprepared. But when I stepped into France in 1917 with 2 million doughboys right at our heels, they were magnificent. They had no idea that they could do so well. At the Chateau Thierry, and then on to Bellowood, and then on to the largest battle in American history at that time. And it was, of course, the largest one they could possibly extend between the river and the woods. And then, early in the morning, September 26, the battle began. The battle began with the doughboys walking through the mist that morning. And they had no idea what was ahead of them, but then they found out. And the Meuse-Argonne was beyond horrible. And they would walk into them with machine guns. They would not stop at that barbed wire. They would not stop at the gas or at the artillery. They stopped at nothing. And then suddenly, by the middle of October, they were defeated. Not by Germans, but by mud. Mud was what defeated them. Their equipment was mired in mud, miles behind them, and we could not even get water to them, much less ammunition. But then, in the middle of October, and it became late October, and then November the 1st, and the rain stopped. And we were able to get their supplies to them and everything that they needed, and they fell upon the Germans with a ferocity that Germans had no idea they could even exist in war. And then suddenly the Germans wanted to talk. Talk to our enemies? Yes, we'll talk to our enemies. And I remember what I felt when I saw those German generals coming into our side to talk. And I looked into their eyes. And what I found there were not Huns. I did not see Huns. I didn't see monsters. What I saw were fathers and grandfathers. And they just wanted it over with, like all of the rest of us. We wanted it over with. Go home, all of us. And I knew that around the world at that time, there were thousands of tables. Tables with an empty chair. And people and their loved ones seated around those tables with their faces in their hands praying, oh Lord, let him be okay. But for thousands of them, he was not okay. And then the word came from the conferences. An armistice was soon to be agreed upon. And I said, armistice? An armistice? No. Mr. President, I said, Mr. President, not an armistice. Please give me 10 more days and give me 10 more days with my doughboys and I will give you an unconditional surrender. Take the armistice was the command. Do you know what an armistice is? It is nothing more than a glorified ceasefire that will send home thousands of German boys with their machine guns on their shoulders, convinced that they have not yet lost the war. Technically, they would be right. An armistice would leave that ugly saber of war wafting about, just waiting for another bellicose fiend to come along and grasp its hilt and start it all over again. And that's exactly what happened. And you know his name.
You had me totally engrossed in your story, Pablo.
Do you know his name?
Is that Adolf?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler.
That's right.
Yep. That was a really good emotional story.
Thank you.
And you were telling that in first person.
I always do it in first person, total uniform.
Yeah.
With a saber at my side.
So next year will be 4 years.
It would begin the four-year centennial. It was centennial. 1914 and 1918, so next year, 2014,
yeah.
Is the centennial of World War I.
You will be telling stories.
I will be telling stories of Belleau Wood, the Lost Battalion, on and on.
Yeah. If people would like to have you come out and tell some stories, perform, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, my website is windvoices@yahoo.com, windvoices. WINDVOICES, windvoices@yahoo.com,
okay.
Or 573-581-3639.
Okay. Pablo, thank you so much for coming by, and thank you for sharing that story. And we'll have you back in 2014 if you will come.
I'll be right here.
All right. Thank you. Tomorrow, Missouri Contemporary Ballet and Fall into Art. Our program, directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers from KBIA. Our floor director is Ling Lee, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. If you'd like to listen to the story again, go to kbia.org, click on Talk Shows, Radio Friends, sign up for a free podcast or a podcast.